Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
What up, fuckers? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You are about to listen to an episode of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. This week, we gave you a treat. It's all us. It's all Corinne and Christina.
You lucky dogs.
We read your emails. We give some fucking great advice in this episode. Mike Coscarelli assists us and tells us about, you know, how to lug that big old hog.
Oh, you just need a suitcase. You need
to
travel.
Town.
Carry-on. My carry-on doesn't fit in the thing.
If you want to hear the entire episode, you're going to go to apple.co/GWF where you can subscribe to the Luminary channel on Apple Podcasts. We love you. Enjoy. This is one for me, a question about dying alone. Hi, Corinne and Christina.
Hi.
Love you both so much.
Thanks.
This question has been on my mind since the episode where Corinne opened up about her dad's death. Okay. You said that in those moments after your dad's first heart attack.
Let's go back. Yeah, Jesus. Let's walk you back.
It was actually cardiac arrest, if you want to. I mean, that's different. That's worse.
Yeah.
The entire family got together and fought with him and poured everything they had into helping him fight. Yes. My question is for both of you that do not want a family of their own, nor do I, Christina might. Do you feel
you're all alone? There's no
one like
to help
you have
fight.
People that will be out at your side when you were older. Yeah, paid assistant. If something like this happens to you. I know that having a husband and kids is not a guarantee that you won't die alone, correct? And you'll probably outlive your husband because he'll take years off your life, but then you'll still be around. But I am such an island lone wolf that I really don't know if anyone would be there by my side. I just want to know your thoughts on this topic about getting old and being alone.
Damn, I never thought about that.
I mean, a husband and kids aren't the only family members that you have. I mean, don't you have cousins and friends and like,
yeah.
I mean, there's number one, you can't guarantee that your kid, like there's plenty of schmuck kids who don't help their dying parents, first of all. So you're really
maybe you're mean to your kids and they don't want to help you.
But like, yeah, you're also like, it's like you're crediting yourself with like great parenting that you don't even know. Maybe you'd be a shit parent and your kids wouldn't show up.
Or maybe you're a great parent. Your kid's a real piece of shit. You don't know. The dice is not, you can't tell until you roll it.
Yeah. Your husband, I mean, probably will die before you, so that's not going to be helpful. He'll just take years off your life, but then he'll still die before you. He'll be like, I'm out.
Yes. So annoying.
Then be like, I'm out.
Cool. By the way, I got mad debt. See ya.
Like, oh, okay. Cool. Oh, that's great.
And then
pick the right one.
I mean, yeah. I mean, okay. So
I've thought about dying alone, and honestly,
it doesn't faze me. Sounds
everyone
nice.
Dies alone. I mean, you're the only one in the coffin, the casket, or whatever it is.
I mean, like, it's like you have a phone. You're not going to be rotting into your couch. I don't know. We live in an apartment, so a neighbor smells your corpse. I don't. That's
right,
my
get
advice.
A life alert, or just you know, go live all the time, and then your followers will be like, "Is something wrong? She hasn't been live, gone live in a while." That was just an episode of Black Mirror where Christina dies alone in her apartment.
My insurance plan actually is that. Is make sure that you have a sibling who wants to live a more traditional life.
Oh, yeah.
I do, and Christina does.
Yeah.
And then when...
And my sibling is way healthier than I am, and he's older, but he's probably going to live longer.
Yeah, they're going to have kids. You're going to be a really nice aunt.
Get a nephew or niece. There you go. Done.
Swoop in. Be the aunt who has, like, just
brings
them...
Only give them great stuff.
Brings them to ice cream. Yeah. Just rocks them up and down the aisles of Toys R Us.
When you do see them, it's fantastic. It's a journey. It's a trip.
Get some really complex toys that then the parents have to deal with, like a pottery wheel and shit,
right?
And then
or a drum set,
yeah. And then you're basically
you got a caretaker right there.
You have a surrogate child that you don't have to really raise, but that will come and visit you when you're old and hopefully find your corpse before the news does.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. And I think just also you having friends and like my my great aunt who I talk about a lot on the show, who you know, smoked till she was like 93 or whatever, died at 96, never married, never had any kids, thus the long lifespan. You know, when her sister, my great grandmother's husband, died, they moved in together. They might have even been living together when they were married. I don't know. I never knew my great grandfather. He liked the bottle. He sounded like a really fucking fun guy. He would have loved comedy. But he, but so they, and they lived together. And then my great grandmother died earlier, of course, because she got married and kids. So she was tired. And then my great aunt just lived alone in like this fabulous house in Jersey City, chain smoking, eating tuna sandwiches, watching the news, eating those frozen Little Debbie coconut pies and cakes.
I love those.
I mean, sound. It's
good touch.
And we, you know, I would
maybe dying alone,
visit her,
is amazing.
Yeah. I don't.
So you get all the Little Debbies. Yeah.
The thing is, one thing that I am so good at for myself is making sure that I'm having a fucking good time. So if I die alone, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Get a dog.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Get a cat or dog.
Because they'll
probably a dog.
Get a dog because the dog will bark when you die. Dogs. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Dogs are really good about
get
stuff
help.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Look up breeds that are good at finding like, well, here, we'll look it up
for
you.
Oh, a German Shepherd. They're police dogs.
Yeah, get a.
So they're, you know, but train it for you.
Yeah. Maybe adopt, yes, a retired police dog.
Oh, yeah, and you save each other.
Who, like, one of the dogs who, like, found bodies, like, you know, 9/11 style or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, that dog's probably not around anymore.
Those dogs are all awarded anyway.
Oh, good.
So
they
probably, you know. Yeah, but you'll be fine. I mean, like Christina said, we all die alone. And also, there's hospitals and nurses and people that you can hire to help you through if you're worried about like actually someone wiping your ass or something like that.
Well, right, because who's gonna wipe your ass? But yeah, you can hire somebody.
Yeah, and I really
I'd rather have a hired person wipe my ass than my nephew.
Yeah, I know, and I know that it doesn't feel as comforting, but I would argue that many of the people who get into that profession really do give a shit. And like certainly, like speaking from my own experience, you know, I have not great reviews for like a lot of the doctors at the hospitals, but the nurses really did care, or did a great job pretending to,
which is all that matters.
And kudos to that. And then, in hospice, you know, yeah, there was my dad had a very warm relationship with those people, and that was like part of the reason we made that, you know, that decision. Like, we really felt like he would get the best. I mean, we weren't equipped to give him the care he needed at our home, just medically or otherwise, and or, you know, people wise, because we have a small family. But I do feel like, you know, hospice was like warm. It felt like a real, it didn't feel like a hospital. It feels like a real room or like a nice, like warm hotel room. And he had real relationships with the people. I mean, I even had relationships with the nurses who worked at hospice because I would visit all the time. So to say like, and in some ways I think like those people, like they have to be nice to you. Like your family
doesn't.
Yeah. And I think that we have this like vision of our family taking care of us in our time of need, and it will be like stress free and great, when in reality, like,
it's not
everyone will be stressed out.
Oh,
and
you know, actually that reminds me,
and it'll be bad.
My dad's parents lived with us. We built like an in-law suite. They moved up in with us, and I saw them go through my dad would say shit like, Christina, if I ever do this to you, just shoot me. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna do that, but like, it was very stressful on them. It was very I watched that, and I had to like leave sleepovers at 7 a.m. to go make eggs for my grandparents. Like, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved them, but I didn't like doing that. So when it is family, they're not gonna have the best time doing it, so you might as well, you know, do well in your career.
And they're not trained to do it. Like, I mean, I think the key to like dying alone gracefully, as I hope to do,
great think piece is, for like Cosmo.
Yeah, is just like, and I know it's funny for me to say because I have so much respect or trust for humanity, but I think like if someone chooses to work in hospice or the hospital as their purpose on the earth, like, trust that they know that that is their purpose and that they will be there for you when you need them to be. Don't trust doctors. They never know what the fuck they're doing. But I mean, I'm not like an anti-doctor. I go to the doctor for sure. But I don't think the family will be the savior that you
think
want
they might be. Yeah.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone has Corinne as their kid. So.
Thank God Christina said it, so I didn't have to.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest
is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys.
All right, next subject line. Mike's big cock and guys treating girls differently.
Wait a minute, what?
Please tell Mike that I'd like to suggest that it's not because his dick is too big that he's never come from oral. I've sucked some pretty big dicks and always to completion. If I'm ever in New York, I'll let you know.
Whoa, you just got a straight offer to get your dick
sucked. She hadn't even heard your episode yet because it didn't air yet while we're recording this. Goddamn. Anyway, secondly...
I thought that was the whole email for a second.
No.
It was like, I'm coming to town.
That was her first point. See you later.
You better watch out.
You better not cry. It's Mike's getting his dick sucked and he's going to come. And he's not going to know
that
where
one might be old enough that it's
car.
Public domain, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Jack.
That might be
that
old enough.
That wasn't the words.
That might be public domain at this
secondly,
point. Check.
I went on two dates with a guy. The first date we kissed and it was okay. He was a nice guy, good looking, good conversation, etc. So we went, set up a second date. During the second date, we were on his couch and started kissing. I'd like to say, and heavy petting, but no, it was light touching. I mean, so light, it was almost imperceptible. The kissing and groping after trying for a short period of time was awkward and wasn't working for me, so I decided it was time to go. The next day, I texted to say it was nice to meet him, but I didn't think we were romantically and physically compatible. I thought that was it, but no, he wanted more info. I eventually told him that I prefer a guy to be more aggressive and controlling when making out. I mean, you could word that, but I get what you're saying. Essentially, he received me and didn't aggress at all. I want to feel desired by a man. There we go. I want to feel like he really wants me. His reply was that he is more aggressive with girls he doesn't see a future with and goes slower with girls he likes. Well, that's a very honest reply.
Not the first time I've heard that either.
Really?
Yeah, from men?
Never heard
no.
that.
Can't trust
him. I found that to be, Corinne Fisher, the most trusting woman on earth. I found that to be a gross comment. From your experience, is this a common thing for how guys behave? With sluts, guys are more aggressive and good girls, they take it slow. Yeah. I mean, if I like it rougher, does that mean I'm not girlfriend worthy? No. I'm not going to continue sexually with a guy if he doesn't have the characteristics sexually that I find attractive. We would never get to the point where I'd want him to be my boyfriend if he didn't fuck me the way I like it. I hear you, girl. He said I should have told him that's what I wanted. It's not like I wanted him to spank me and choke me, not yet anyway. I just want to feel his strength pulling me in aggressively and passionately. It wasn't his natural way, so I'm not going to say, pull me in tighter on a second date. Anyway, is it possible to find a guy that will respect you in the streets? I'm a lady. And disrespect you in the sheets? I'm a bit of a freak. Of course, I know it has to be possible, but really, what are my chances? I'm 45 years old. I've been single and dating for... Wow,
Michael!
Mike, that's fucking rude.
Michael!
That's fucking rude. No, you're not. I'm 45 years old. I've been single and dating for the past 3.5 years. I'm having the best sex of my life. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for the 40s. And I love listening to your podcast every week. I've learned so much and appreciate you both so much. Thanks for the input. A loyal fucker. Yeah. So, well, that, yeah. I was going to say that porn star that I had sex with, he was on the podcast. He was great. He was the perfect everything. But then I felt comfortable. So the sex worker and the porn star that I had sex with, I felt very comfortable articulating what I wanted and they delivered.
Yeah.
But I have had the other guy that was involved with that particular three-way didn't ever want to hit a woman. And I'm like, well, that's...
Well,
no for me, dog.
Yeah, hitting it is different. A lot of guys don't want to hit.
Yeah.
Well, number one,
it's hard to say, like, grab me passionately, like, because I know what she's saying. Like, you just want the guy to do it. You know, you don't have to say it.
Well, I mean, also, this guy, what is this guy, 45, talking about girlfriend material? What the fuck are you talking about, dude? What the fuck? I mean, I think there, I have to be honest, this is something I hear from men a lot, and every time it breaks my heart, you know.
What the fuck's men's problem, Mike?
Oh, I was hoping you guys would tag me in.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that I have this conversation with women all the time, and women that I'm sort of, that I'm interested in.
That they're whores and you only want them for a night?
No, the opposite. Mm-hmm. To me, it's always been a red flag if a girl, because now the days with like dating apps and texting before you even meet somebody, there's a lot of conversation that tends to happen or can tend to happen.
Uh-huh.
Where it can get a little, I don't want to say like fully sexual before you guys even meet sometimes.
But it
could be flirty over text.
Yeah, very flirty and kind of like a dialogue about it.
Right.
And to me, anytime I get to that point and there is a girl that is kind of like brazenly saying, you know, we will not like hook up on the first date because you will not respect me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, that is the fault of men kind of putting that in women's minds. Mm-hmm. But they're fucking it up for all of us because
who is
just guys that have that type of mentality where they're just like, oh, well, this girl has more value to me because I see a future.
Because Mike wants his dick sucked on the first date and these guys are fucking getting married.
For the guys that I've heard this from, it pisses me off so fucking much because it's not about respect for women. If you fucking respect me, then you would be open to exploring these possibilities in bed.
Well, and how are you really supposed to know if you like somebody until you guys have had sex together and also had like good sex?
Right.
That to me is like a major deal breaker.
Sometimes it takes a while to have good sex.
Right. It has no, like, and again, maybe it's because I've been working with you guys for so long that I have a different perspective on this than a lot of other men my age or 45 or, you know, however
just
old this dude was.
Men in general, yeah.
But if this dude is in her age bracket, and I was kidding, by the way, I'm sorry, I did not mean to, that was a joke. I wasn't
trying
to offend you. Thank
you for
apologizing. Miss. Miss.
If he,
Mike just saw his paycheck just getting fucking burned.
Well, I just think that like a full grown man should know better than to fucking throw that line. I mean, yeah, people got to do what they're comfortable with. I get it, but at the same time,
he probably meant it with good intentions. However, I wish more men would understand that we don't like that. We don't like hearing that.
Well, yeah, they're not separate issues,
right?
Yeah, and also once it was revealed that you're 45, and I'm assuming the man was around because you did. I think if he was a lot younger, you would have mentioned that because it would have been information that we needed,
right?
But I'm guessing he's around your age, and that's kind of what I've been talking about and why I decided to start dating younger guys this was not true of any of my older ex-boyfriends because I only date absolute sexual freak shows. Because that's like one of the, you know, I probably concentrate too much on that, not enough on like other things.
Yeah,
like
personality.
You know, like having a home.
Or a job.
You know, but you find that a lot. And I find that a lot in conversations that I have. And I definitely have a lot of friends in comedy who are around this age who have these thoughts about women. And that's why I know that men feel that way. And I talk to them about it and it grosses me out and I would never date these people. Even though they are my friends, I would never date them. I would never recommend or give my blessing to a friend to date them because I know that they feel this way.
And
it is very archaic.
Yes, it is very archaic. It's the Madonna whore complex. And mm-hmm. it's like, it's so, I would understand it if a man does not feel comfortable physically slapping a woman or whatever the woman is at, like if they're, you know, posing a violent thing, violent, you know, like every guy has their own, you know, version of what they're comfortable with in bed, right? And, you know, we often forget sometimes as straight women that men have the right to say no to. But the whole making love to a girlfriend and fucking a slut is just such an outdated, just go fuck off with that, guys.
It is.
Just
it's
get
insulting.
That out of your goddamn vocabulary because it's you're not our hero. You're not coming in to save us. Your dick ain't doing shit because you can't fucking man up and hit me while you fuck me.
Yeah, Jeanette, what I will say to you is that my two most serious relationships, and I mean, not to brag, but I did get blackout or to the point of blackout drunk and have sexual relations with both of them on the first date. And we went on to have very complex, meaningful relationships. Like it's 100%, like you can do that. And I think part of it is like while many men might not see you as long-term material after you do that. That is part of the process. That's like part of the skimming that you're going through when you're dating people. Yeah. Someone that is not going to use that against you, someone who is comfortable and free with their sexuality, because that's something that you need. And now knowing your age, I would recommend going a little bit younger. I'm not talking you don't have to date a 24-year-old, but you, I think dating someone in their 30s, because just as much as women, younger women have gotten more open at least with talking about their sexuality and their sexual needs. I think men in our generations have heard that and have responded accordingly. So you will find what you need. It's absolutely not hard to find someone who will like fuck you real aggressively, but then treat you nicely and respectfully when you're not naked.
Beautiful.
And it's not this guy.
Nope.
He might be sitting 10 feet from the two of you though.
So it's you.
You want to fuck Jeanette?
So I don't know Jeanette, but I'm just saying.
Wow.
Anyway.
Mike's really trying to backtrack from that comment about the 45.
I didn't mean to. It was a joke.
Okay. Jeanette, send in a photo.
Oh, Mike talking himself into a hole is my new favorite thing on this podcast. New favorite segment.
The segment's called, "It Was a Joke."
This is mine?
Yeah.
Update? Okay, it says update, but I don't know if I remember the first part of this. Or maybe sometimes people like to send an update before we've even read the first one.
Oh, wait, yeah.
I broke up with my boyfriend who wanted to travel the world for 1.5 years with his mother.
And good.
And he posted on Facebook about our breakup.
Well,
dumb bitch alert. That's what it says. Okay. Not, I didn't say that. She said that. Hey, guys. So I wanted to send an update regarding the email I sent and the craziness that ensued. I also realized that last time I emailed you, I didn't include info about myself.
Okay.
Well, we're starting from scratch here.
Yeah.
I'm a 24-year-old female. I was dating my boyfriend, a 27-year-old male. We had been dating for about 3.5 years. It felt like 20. And I ended it last week. Essentially, I just got tired of feeling like the third wheel in the relationship with him and his mom. Fucking nightmare.
Ew, dude. Ew.
She would invite herself to come with us to the beach, and she was just always hanging out with us.
Aww,
I liked her. She was super nice lady, but I just think they had a weird, super close relationship.
Yeah, then you were right.
So I broke up with him. It luckily ended pretty well. Yeah, because he was like, finally, I have
all
my time
for
my
mom, and you're not here. Woohoo.
And I have to say that everything went okay in the moment. We both said we enjoyed the last 3 years and we wished each other the best, and then we went our separate ways.
Sounds passionate.
Well, I've started a breakup on good terms, and then I let it burn. Then a few days later, I logged on to Facebook randomly.
Randomly logged on after we broke up.
That reeks of a man who spends too much time with his mom, and he also updates his Facebook a lot.
Yeah.
And I saw a post.
Well, so she could tag her.
Ugh, who the fuck still posts on Facebook? I hear you. That said, we had broken up and he tagged me in it.
Oh, shots fired. Let's go.
Feel free to read the post. I have attached a screenshot of it in this email.
Okay. Oh, okay. I have it.
He also attached like 17 photos of us together. That's what she said.
Oh, wait,
holy shit.
What the fuck?
Oh, she didn't make the file big enough.
Okay, so wait, it says, oh my God. Is that, oh, that's a picture. Okay, so the post, should I read the post now or you want to read the rest of the email?
No, read the post.
Oh my God. Okay. So this is him. And Jesus Christ, you psycho. For everyone I've talked to in the past 3 years, you'll know that this person and I have been dating. I want to let you know that we've split up, but under friendly and mutual circumstances. This guy's a fucking serial killer. There's no bad blood, and both of us are going to do great things on our respective paths. We loved each other and had a great run. And then there's a bunch of pictures of them.
Okay.
Oh, and there's his mom.
It's corny, but it's not as bad as I thought it was. This guy just
it's
like
a weird thing to say, but it's not mean.
It's just
so
like kind of
cool.
Narcissistic. Like no one gives a shit, dude. What are you, Gwyneth Paltrow? Like it's not like a conscious uncoupling. No one cares.
Yeah.
All right. That said, what is this? 17 photos of us together.
Yeah,
to
there was
said
a lot
post.
Of photos.
Now he did not reach out to me to ask me or involve me in any way before this fucking post.
Well, he didn't say anything incriminating. He wasn't like, oh, her pussy smelling.
Yeah,
and I
gotta say, as someone who has a sex dating and relationship podcast, like
I'm not gonna get mad at somebody for doing that.
Yeah, he has the right to tell his story, and you were part of his story.
Yeah,
so
but she didn't like that.
Yeah, I was fucking furious. We are not famous. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
no.
Yeah, but that's 2021.
People
for
don't
you.
Need to know over fucking Facebook that we broke up. Yeah,
fair.
I just couldn't believe it. It was so cringy. It was cringe.
Yeah, I cringed.
Yeah, I texted him to remove me from the post and untag me.
You can remove yourself.
Tag. Yeah. I didn't ask him to take it down because if he wanted to post it on his page, it's his life. Yeah, and I'm not a part of it anymore.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
Good. But I had an issue with him tagging me in it. Just have it set so that people can't tag you then.
If that bothers you so much, you can remove it after they have tagged you. You can remove the tag.
Yeah.
No one goes on Facebook anymore. It's like, forget what the fucking rules are.
Yeah, he then proceeded to tell me in our text exchange that I had disappointed him because I didn't want to put the end of our relationship on Facebook.
You made the right choice, girl.
How did you last this long?
Girl, you made the right choice.
Guy.
And he loves his mom that much?
I have also added the screenshots of the text exchange. We're going to go to that. Feel free to read that as well. I can't really do the messages justice, but essentially the way he acted just justified, okay, me breaking up with him, and I'm glad I did it. I guess you never really know people until you break up with them.
Okay. Should we do
I mean, also sometimes breaking up with people, you know, unhook something in the head.
All right. Well, the screenshots she attached, damn it, as much as I want to read them,
they're
real long.
Well, but also you can't read them because you can't zoom in good enough. Well, we looked for the messages in a file size that was large enough to read. And basically, the summary of this email is that you're just not very good at online because you don't know how to untag yourself on Facebook and you couldn't send us files that were big enough for us to read.
So that's why you got to find a younger boyfriend who's tech savvy and doesn't like his mother.
Yeah. So this guy is weird, but also you need some classes at the local community college to learn how to use a computer better, girlfriend.
Thanks so much for listening to that excerpt of the latest episode of Guys We Fucked, where we read all of your juicy, problematic, fun emails. If you want to hear the entire conversation, head on over to apple.co/GWF, where you can get an Illuminary subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.